Cain, the first murderer in history, is also remembered for asking God the question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, let me put the question to you this way. Are you responsible for others, in particular for their repentance? Find out on today's Grace to You. When a member in your church sins, the whole body is affected, not just the one who sinned. What's more, if you don't confront him on his wrongdoing, you end up sinning yourself. That's the essence of John MacArthur's study today on Grace to You. He calls it My Brother's Keeper. And today, he's going to show you why forgiveness is as big a part of keeping your brother as the willingness to discipline him. Before the lesson, in recent weeks and months, we've been telling you about Grace to You's expansion into television. But John, we continue seeing growth in our daily radio coverage, too. You've some details I know you want to share.
We have continued to grow in radio, and of course that's the heart and soul of our ministry. We're thankful for that. We are also growing rather significantly in our television program. Grace to You television program is now moving ahead along with everything else, but we're glad for the growth in radio as well. And just some changes that you might want to note. Grace to You radio recently expanded in the Milwaukee area. We are now heard at 8:30 a.m. in addition to our longtime evening release. We're grateful for that expansion in the Milwaukee area. And then Miami, another example. We recently launched an 8 a.m. broadcast in that very important market, which is really a mission field. We're also heard on more than 600 different stations across the United States, Canada, and the English-speaking world. More times than that because we have multiple programs, but 600 stations. Spanish broadcast, Gracia a Vosotros, airs more than 900 times a day. And all that is a reflection of God using His people like you to support the work. And as long as the support comes, we keep expanding. So thank you for praying for us. Thank you for generously supporting us. We're here every day for you and because of you.
Friend, thanks for your commitment to the truth and for your faithfulness to this growing outreach. Well, let's get right back to today's lesson as John MacArthur continues the study called My Brother's Keeper. Here's John.
Now, forgiveness is a great, great virtue. I really believe that it is the key to the unity of the church. It's the key to love. It's the key to meaningful relationships. It's what constantly tears down the barriers that try through sin to be built up, to separate us from one another, to wall us off, to make us bitter and angry and vengeful. Forgiveness is a tremendous concept. In fact, in Proverbs 19:11, it says, "It is a man's glory to pass over a transgression." In other words, if you want to see man at his best, he is at his best in his ability to forgive. In overlooking a transgression, in forgetting a sin and an evil. So we see then in this passage, beginning in verse 21, a transition into the matter of forgiveness. Let's look at an outline. First of all, in verse 21, the inquiry about forgiveness. The inquiry about forgiveness. "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?'" Seven times. And Peter really thought he was being generous. Now that leads from the inquiry about forgiveness to the extent of forgiveness. Verse 21 again. Peter says, "Seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until what? 70 times seven." Now, the thought here is this. The extent of forgiveness is unending, limitless. So the inquiry about forgiveness leads to Jesus' statement about the extent of forgiveness. Now, I want to talk for a few moments about the effect of forgiveness. The effect. And to do that, I want to draw you to Matthew chapter 6. Now, we are called to forgive, and I'm going to give you several reasons why. First of all, we are called to forgive because of the example of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:32, we have been forgiven by God for Christ's sake, and so we ought to forgive each other. So we are called to forgive because Christ gave us that example. Secondly, we are called to forgive because it is the best of man, as I said, Proverbs 19:11. Thirdly, we are called to forgive because it is the character of saints to do that. That's part of Christian virtue. Fourthly, we are called to forgive in order to free our conscience from the root of bitterness that Hebrews talks about. Fifthly, we are to forgive in order to deliver ourselves from Satan. 2 Corinthians 2 says he'll get an advantage of us if we don't do that. And sixthly, we are to forgive in order to deliver ourselves from divine chastening. And you get that? Those are very important things. We must forgive because that's the example of Christ. We must forgive because that's the glory of man. We must forgive because that's the character of saints. We must forgive because it frees our conscience from a root of bitterness. We must forgive because it delivers us from Satan's advantage. We must forgive because it frees us from the chastening of God. And one more. We must forgive, or else we will not be forgiven. Did you get that? We must forgive, or else we will not be forgiven ourselves. James 2:13, I just read it to you. The one who shows no mercy will receive none. Look at 6:12 of Matthew. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And then the commentary on that is in verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now listen, that is a monumental statement about forgiveness. Because if you don't forgive, you don't receive forgiveness. And he says, he's talking to Christians? Yes. This is a believer's prayer. If you're not a believer, you're not even in this prayer. Because you can't say in verse 9, the very address of the prayer, which is what? Our Father. You say, in what sense then can a Christian have unforgiven sin? If you don't forgive someone else as a Christian, two things take place. Number one, you cannot know the forgiveness of God in terms of communion, fellowship, joy, all that ought to be there between you and the Lord. And secondly, you will know His chastening. Because God, when there's an outstanding sin account and He has not parentally forgiven that, is going to bring to bear on your life certain chastening to refine that unrefined area. You understand? So there's two sides. When you don't forgive someone else, you don't experience the full joy of your salvation. And secondly, you will experience divine pressure and chastening. So you examine your life. Are you looking at your life and saying, I don't see the kind of joy I ought to see in my life? I don't have the kind of fulfillment spiritually. I don't seem to have the power of God in my life. On the other hand, it seems as though I'm always being chastened. I'm always struggling. There's always hassles in my life. I've examined my life. I don't know any moral sins. I don't know this or that. Then you better backtrack and find out if, in fact, there isn't somewhere in your heart something for which you have never forgiven a person. Some grudge you hold, some bitterness there, because if you can't forgive, you'll never experience the forgiveness of God. And that's what this is saying. Though you'll die and go to heaven because transactionally your sins are paid for in Christ, they're forgiven on the books, you can't experience the fullness of that because you won't forgive. Now, this is not some isolated truth. You saw it in James 2:13. You hear it again in the disciples' prayer. And in case you're still unconvinced, listen to Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against any, that your Father also who's in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who's in heaven forgive your trespasses. There it is again. Same thing, Mark 11:25-26. So it's a very important truth. In verse 12, we ought to note something. Matthew 6, forgive us our debts, the Greek says, as we forgave our debtors. That's very important because it puts our forgiveness before God's forgiveness. You forgive us, God, as we forgave. When we take care of forgiveness, then God keeps the channel of His own blessed forgiveness flowing. So you're maybe thinking of 1 John 1:9, as we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive and keep on cleansing. You know, that's the life of a Christian who keeps confessing God, keeps forgiving and cleansing, but only when we forgive others. That puts a wall up if we don't do that. Oswald Sanders said, Jesus deals with us as we deal with others. He measures us by the yardstick we use on others. The prayer is not forgive us because we forgive others, but forgive us even as we have forgiven others. Forgiveness, then, is basic to being forgiven. So what is the effect of forgiveness? The effect of forgiveness is when you forgive others, what happens? God forgives you. You say, what does it mean when God forgives me? It means I can experience the fullness of fellowship and I take myself out of the place of chastening into the place of blessing. By the way, forgive us our debts. The debts there are spiritual debts. And they refer to sin. And that's because verse 14 says trespass. So we equate the debts and the trespasses. And we know in the other record of this instruction in prayer, the word trespass appears. So it is our sins. And we are literally to hurl them away. That's what the verb means. Hurling away the sins of others against us, that ours may be hurled away. Now go back to Matthew chapter 5. In verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's the same principle, isn't it? It's exactly the same principle. If you want mercy when you sin from the Lord, then you better give mercy to other people. You know something? Think of it this way. I just thought of this in terms of a concise statement. You're very like God. You're very like God when you forgive. Aren't you? Very like Him. You want to be like God? Everybody say, I want to be godly. Well, can I suggest to you that godliness may not be memorizing 1,000 verses as much as it would be forgiving? I mean, there ought to be the fruit of that memorization. Godliness is forgiving because you're very like God when you do that. That's the stuff of true spirituality. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I think that's a statement of fact about a believer. I believe that people in God's kingdom are merciful. Believing people are merciful because they've experienced mercy. So if you're not, you're actually contradicting your own nature. I mean, you're fighting against who you are in Christ. You have been forgiven. And you become a forgiver because you understand that forgiveness. But it's very possible as a Christian that you can get into a time of disobedience in your life where you fail to forgive others. And you're really violating the very proof of your salvation. If you want to tell a Christian, just look for someone who knows how to forgive because he's been forgiven. True forgiveness of the sinner from God, I think, breaks the person down. It gives him a heart of forgiveness toward others. If you're really a Christian and you've really been forgiven, then you're going to understand forgiveness. And if you don't understand that at all, it's questionable whether you've ever really experienced it. Let me take you to another passage. Same chapter, Matthew 5, verse 21. You've heard that it was said by them of old. In other words, he says to the Jews, this is your tradition. That little statement, you have heard that it was said by them of old, which repeats itself in the chapter, is an identification of their Jewish tradition. Your tradition says, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. In other words, their tradition said, don't kill somebody because you might get put in jail. I mean, that was basically it. Very shallow. Don't kill somebody, because if you do, you might be in danger of being put in jail. And no moral issue here, just make sure you don't get thrown in jail. So that's why you don't kill. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause without it being a holy cause, shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, that, by the way, is an untranslatable epithet of malicious verbiage. You whatever brainless idiot. That kind of thing. It's more than just saying it in jest. It's saying it with venom. When you say that, you're in danger of the council. For whosoever shall say thou fool, you moros, you mock, it's a mocking, abusive calling of someone a moronic individual, you'll be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, you're going to come worship God, and you remember that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Why? Because you're not going to know what it worship is. You can't commune with God. You can't fellowship with God until you've resolved that forgiveness attitude. So it's the same thing again. First reconciliation, then worship. First we forgive, then we're forgiven. And so we need to be called to examine our own lives. Are you like God? Your heart eager to forgive? We all get wronged, directly and indirectly. Is your heart free to forgive, no matter how close that wrong may be? No matter how deeply it penetrates you? For me, just as a personal testimony, for me, the deepest pains come when people speak evil against me and want to destroy my reputation. I hear about things that are just unbelievable, that are supposed to be true about me. Just unbelievable. And those are the things that pain me the most deeply. Untrue criticisms and allegations and accusations. And I find that those become for me the test of a forgiving heart. And I ask God to give me the grace to forgive. I don't want to carry a grudge, a bitterness for 5 seconds. And so eagerly when I hear that, am I anxious to offer up a prayer, oh God, put in me the heart of forgiveness so that I may commune with you in the fullness of fellowship and joy and not experience the chastening that comes when you don't forgive me. And may I remember that for everyone who sins against me, I have multiplied times sins against you. And you have always forgiven me. And at no point in time has any of my sin caused me to forfeit my eternal life. And nor should anyone else's sin cause them to forfeit my love and my mercy toward them. And having done that, then you seek to pursue the restoration on the fellowship level that you may have joy. And having done that, you demonstrate the true heart of forgiveness by giving back to that person something of great value. And it may be yourself entrusted into their care. Well, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we've been able to come to your word and expose our hearts again to its powerful truth. We all need to be forgiven. We need the people in our house to forgive us, our wives, husbands, our kids. We need the people that we work with every day to forgive us. We need the people in our Bible studies and in our church family to forgive us because we are children. We are short of perfection. We're weak, ignorant, undisciplined in so many ways, prone to disobey, self-willed. It isn't a question of which of us has sinned and need forgiveness. It's only a question of what were our sins. For we have all sinned even since we embraced Christ. And so the church must be a forgiving assembly, a forgiving people who eagerly give, that they may eagerly receive the forgiveness of God. May we know, Lord, that full, rich, joyous fellowship. May we know the blessedness of being spared chastening because we have forgiven others. May we demonstrate our redemption. May we be the living illustrations of blessed are the merciful, for they show that they have obtained mercy. May we be to others as you are to us. Father, may we never come to worship, to bring a gift with an unforgiving heart to a brother, but first deal with forgiveness and then with worship. And when we have followed the path of discipline and gained a brother, and when we have forgiven and restored the fellowship with that brother or sister, and they sin again, the same sin against us, may we forgive them again and again and again without limit, as you in grace forgive us without limit. Never is there a limit to our forgiveness, for never is there a limit to yours. And then we will be like God. Then we will be restored to His character. Then we will walk as Jesus walked, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He was mocked and blasphemed and murdered, said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Like Stephen, when he was mistreated, abused, stoned to death, all undeservedly, may we say, don't blame them for this. Give us the heart of forgiveness, so that every wound is instantly healed, every barrier instantly removed, every wall instantly torn down. That not only are we aggressively reproving and rebuking sin, but equally as aggressive in forgiving it. Father, thank You for what You're accomplishing through Your Word these days. These are so important, these truths. Make us a forgiving people who carry no grudges, let no wounds fester, but whose hearts are so filled with grace and mercy from the gracious, merciful Spirit who lives there, that we have more than enough for all who offend us, so that we could forgive 490 times a day and never exhaust the heart of forgiveness. We who have been forgiven so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
John MacArthur there on Grace to You, helping you learn how to forgive those who've sinned and restore them to Christian fellowship. He calls the study My Brother's Keeper. Today, John, you spoke at length about the effect of forgiveness. If you would, take a moment now about the practice of forgiveness. As you've counseled people over the years, I know that you've done a lot of that as a pastor. What is the human fallout when we don't practice forgiveness in our day-to-day relationships?
I guess a simple way to answer that, Carl, would be to say at the end of the day, every breach of a relationship is a result of somebody's inability to forgive. No matter what someone does, that in itself doesn't violate the relationship. What violates the relationship in the end is a person's inability to forgive them for what they've done. Oh, sure. Sometimes people violate a relationship and just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And of course, then it does destroy the relationship. But I'm talking about times when somebody does something to violate a relationship, something sinful, something wrong, and they stop and they say, forgive me, I'm sorry, I want to make it right. Then that relationship's future comes down to forgiveness. Forgiveness is so critical, so freeing, so empowering. Not only keeps relationships together, keeps your own heart from growing bitter. There's a booklet we've put together called Answering the Hard Questions About Forgiveness. If you want to live a full, rich, happy life, you need to learn to forgive. The book is titled Answering the Hard Questions About Forgiveness. Here's the good news. We'll send it to you free, no charge, if you've never contacted us before. For anyone contacting us for the first time, call, write, fax, email. We'll send you a free copy of the book, Answering the Hard Questions About Forgiveness. Contact us today.
Again, this helpful booklet tackles some of the most important and most common questions about forgiveness. It's free to everyone who contacts us for the first time. Request yours by name. It's titled Answering the Hard Questions About Forgiveness. Mention that when you get in touch. You can reach us by fax at area code 661-295-5871. Again, 661-295-5871. And you can also email your request to letters@gty.org. You can use the regular mail to send your request. It's Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or use that toll-free number anytime, 24 hours a day, 1-800-55-GRACE. Now remember, if you've never contacted us before, you can ask for a free copy of this booklet, Answering the Hard Questions About Forgiveness. And for further study on the vital role forgiveness plays in the life of the church, remember John's current series, My Brother's Keeper. You can obtain it on MP3 or on CD, all options available at the website gty.org, or just call for the CDs. The cost for the 7-CD album is $31. Shipping is free. The 7 MP3 downloads cost you $21. Call our toll-free number, 1-800-55-GRACE. You can order the CDs by phone or go online for the CDs or MP3s at gty.org. Thanks, too, for remembering that Grace to You is funded by gifts from listeners like you. Let us know that hearing John's teaching is important to you. Write to Grace to You, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. And now for John MacArthur and the staff, thanks for listening. Be back tomorrow for another 30 minutes of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, on the next Grace to You. Is your sin as vile to you as it is to God? Find out why an accurate understanding of your sin is crucial for every relationship you have. Don't miss tomorrow's Grace to You.